When God saved you, he solved your biggest problem. Everything else is small potatoes. It's peanuts compared to that one. Once you were forgiven, washed clean, promised a future in heaven, given a purpose for living, everything else is minor by comparison. So what are you worried about? If he's going to help you with the most important and the biggest problem in your life, why isn't he going to help you with everything else? If God loved us enough to send Christ to die for us, don't you think he loves us enough to take care of all those other needs?
How can I know God's will? Why do I do what I don't want to do? How long should I keep praying? How can I stop worrying? Thanks for joining us here on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. As we come to the last couple of days in our series called Hard Questions, Rick will share from God's Word in order to help us navigate through the muddy waters of life's seemingly unanswerable questions. In just a few moments, we're going to tell you about a resource you can take with you wherever you go. It'll provide practical answers to any dilemma facing you. It's a book by Pastor Rick called God's Answers to Life's Difficult Questions. You can take a sneak peek at this valuable tool by going to PastorRick.com while you listen to today's message. That's PastorRick.com, or you can text the word DAILY to 99000. That's the word DAILY to 99000. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part one of a message called, How Can I Stop Worrying?
This week, Tom and I had to fly to Richmond, Virginia, where we were speaking to the International Mission Board. And coming back on that flight, there was some turbulence from some of these Midwestern storms. And so I called the flight attendant back and I said, now, sir, I'm not worried about this, but how often do jets like this one crash? He said, well, as a rule, only once. So, no comfort. You know, I've never received comfort from these people who say, if it's your time, it's your time. I mean, you know, it doesn't matter if you're in a car or a bus or on the plane. If it's your time, it's your time. Well, what if it's the pilot's time? I mean, it may not be my time, but it's the pilot's time. The fact is we all worry about something, and worry is essentially a control issue. Write this down. Here's a definition. Worry is trying to control the uncontrollable. Trying to control the uncontrollable. We can't control our health, so we worry about our health. We can't control our jobs, so we worry about our jobs. We can't control our economy, so we worry about the economy. We can't control our children, so we worry about our children. And we can't control the future, so we worry about the future. But the truth is, worry never solves anything. All it does is make us miserable. It's stewing without doing. The root English word for worry literally means to choke or to strangle. And that's what happens when you worry. You choke off the life. You strangle the joy out of your life every time you worry. The word for worry in the Bible, the Greek word, literally means a divided mind. It's this tug of war that's going on in your mind. So today we're in this series that Tom and I are doing on hard questions. And we're going to look at how do I stop worrying? How do I stop worrying? And in Jesus' famous Sermon on the Mount that was read earlier by Pastor Steve, Jesus has a lot to say about worry. He talks about the reasons for worry. He talks about the reasons we don't need to worry. And he talks about, of course, how to stop worrying. And so let's look at it this morning. First, four reasons Jesus says we don't need to worry. Four reasons not to worry. First, he says worry is unreasonable. Worry is unreasonable. Matthew 6:25 says, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than clothes? Are more important than food, and your body more important than clothes? What's he saying here? He's saying that worry is irrational. It's unreasonable because in the first place, we often worry about the wrong things. He says, this doesn't make sense. It's useless. He said, you're worrying about what you're going to drink, what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear. He said, that's the wrong thing. Those are small. Those are trivial. Those are not very meaningful issues. I was at a party a while back, and a guy spilled some stuff on his shirt. And he nearly had a coronary. He was so worried about it. And I was thinking, man, get an Hawaiian shirt, you know? I've got 5 stains on this and you can't even tell. You know? I mean, that'll solve that one real easy. What he's saying, Jesus is saying, if you're going to worry about something, man, make it matter. Don't worry about the external. Worry about the eternal. Don't worry about what you're going to drink and what you're going to wear and stuff like that. He said, if it's not going to last, don't worry about it. And in the second place, he says, to worry about something you can change is stupid. To worry about something you can't change is useless. So either way, it's unreasonable to worry. And on top of that, have you noticed that when you worry, the thing gets bigger in your mind? You know, somebody criticizes you, you start worrying about it. You worry about it long enough, pretty soon you think the whole world's against you. It gets exaggerated. He says, worry is unreasonable. Number two, he says, worry is unnatural. Worry is unnatural. And Jesus gives us an illustration from nature here in Matthew 6:26. Read it with me. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they are? Circle the word valuable. God says you're more valuable than the birds. And then he says in the next verse, and why do you worry about clothes? Look at the lily fields. Now the fields of lilies, they don't worry about theirs. Yet King Solomon in all of his glory was not clothed as beautifully as they are. Now, Jesus, again, gives us a couple of illustrations from nature. First, he says, look at bird watching. Now, I'm not an ornithologist, but from my point of view as an amateur, if anybody's on God's welfare roll, it's the birds. I mean, what do they do? I mean, they chirp and they twitter and fly around and take up land that could be developed and, you know, stuff like that. But what do they really do? And yet God says, I take care of them, and if I take care of them, aren't you more valuable than they are? And he says, look at the flowers. You ever look closely at a flower? Here's a flower that's not even going to last 6-8 weeks. And look at the intricate design, the attention that God gives to flowers. He says, they're not even going to last. And look how much God has paid attention to them in designing them. Here's the point. Animals don't worry. Plants don't worry. There's only one thing in all of God's creation that worries. Human beings. People. We are the only thing that God has created that doesn't trust God. We're the only thing that worries. And God says, you know, this is unnatural. By the way, here's a verse you might want to write down. Psalm 145, verse 16. Psalm 145, 16 says, God satisfies the desires of every living thing. All of creation trusts God except mankind. Worry is not natural. Now, I know you've said, well, I'm a born worrier. No, you're not. Because worry is a learned response. You learned it from your parents. You learned it from peers. You learned it from brothers and sisters. You just picked it up. You may have a natural inclination, but you're not a born worrier. It's something you learned. In fact, you have to practice it to get good at it. And some of you are very good at it because you've had a lot of practice at worrying. Since it's learned, it can be unlearned. He says it's not natural. Not only is it not natural, it's unnatural. It's unhealthy. Your body wasn't geared to handle worry. God didn't wire you up to handle worry. And so when you worry, you take it out on your body. You have stomach problems, you have muscle problems, neck problems, back problems, digestive problems. It causes all kinds of ailments and illnesses and health issues when you worry, because your body was not designed to handle worry. You ever hear anybody say, oh, I'm worried sick? They may be. They may be. I read this week that in America, we consume 165 tons of aspirin a day. A day. 7.5 billion headaches a year. That's a lot of Excedrin. Why? Because worry is not only unnatural, it's unhealthy. Then the third thing Jesus says is worry is unhelpful. It's unhelpful. He says it doesn't work. It doesn't change anything. It's useless. Matthew 6:27. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? He says, now look, why are you worrying? Worrying cannot make you taller. It cannot make you shorter. Worrying cannot make you thinner as much as you would like it to be. It can't make you bigger. It can't make you smarter. Worry cannot make you live longer, add an hour to your life. In fact, what it does is the opposite. It shortens your life. Studies have shown that people who are chronic worriers actually live less long than those who don't worry. That people of peace of mind tend to live longer. And he's saying this doesn't work. When you worry about a problem, it doesn't bring you one inch closer to the solution. It's kind of like sitting in a rocking chair. A lot of activity, a lot of energy, a lot of motion, but no progress. No progress at all. Just stewing without doing, stewing without doing. Doesn't work.
The rest of today's message is coming your way in just a few moments. But first, if you'd like to connect with Rick on Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn, just go to PastorRick.com and click on his social media links. Oh, and while you're at it, go ahead and sign up for his free Daily Hope email devotional and take a look at all the other helpful resources. That's PastorRick.com or just text the word daily to 99000. Again, that's the word daily to 99000. The second half of today's lesson is coming up.
How can you cope with stress, rebound from failure, defeat depression, have peace of mind? In his book, God's Answers to Life's Difficult Questions, Rick Warren takes you to the Bible for answers to 12 of life's toughest questions, drawing from the examples of different biblical characters that face the same issues. Rick offers concise, practical, eye-opening insights that you can understand and apply right away so you can move past hardships and experience a life of purpose and significance. Pastor Rick writes, "In each of these studies, you will discover simple ways to apply God's truth to your personal life, your family, and your job. Let Rick lead you through the scriptures to see what they reveal about 12 of the most pressing questions people ask. Let us send you a copy of the book, God's Answers to Life's Difficult Questions, today. As our way of saying thanks for your financial support of this ministry, go to PastorRick.com right now. That's PastorRick.com. Or you can call 800-600-5004. That's 800-600-5004. Thanks in advance for your support. There are only 48 hours left to get this life-changing resource, so don't wait."
Once again, here's Rick.
Worrying cannot make you taller. It cannot make you shorter. Worrying cannot make you thinner as much as you would like it to be. It can't make you bigger. It can't make you smarter. Worry cannot make you live longer, add an hour, even an hour to your life. In fact, what it does is the opposite. It shortens your life. Studies have shown that people who are chronic worriers actually live less long than those who don't worry, that people of peace of mind tend to live longer. And he's saying this doesn't work. When you worry about a problem, it doesn't bring you one inch closer to the solution. It's kind of like sitting in a rocking chair. A lot of activity, a lot of energy, a lot of motion, but no progress. No progress at all. Just stewing without doing, stewing without doing. Doesn't work. Because worry does not change anything. Worry cannot change the past. As much as you'd like it, it can't change the past, no matter how much you worry about the past. Worry cannot control the future, no matter how much you worry about it. So if it can't change the past, control the future, what does it do? Messes up today. That's all it does. Every time you worry, all you're doing is robbing yourself of happiness right now. Worry does do one thing. It makes you miserable. Worry does one thing. It changes you from a happy person into a miserable person. Proverbs 12:25 says, "Worry weighs us down." Worry causes more fatigue than work. Of course, a lot of people worry more than they work. But it does tear you down. It does wear you down. Now, you contrast that with Proverbs 14:30 that says, "A heart at peace gives life to the body." So you're either going to be up or you're going to be down with your worry, and that's going to affect your body. But it doesn't do anything, and it's certainly unreasonable, unnatural, and unhelpful. And then finally, Jesus says, worry is unnecessary. It's unnecessary. In Matthew 6, verse 30, he says, "If God cares so wonderfully for flowers that are here today and gone tomorrow, won't he more surely care for you, O you of little faith?" He says it's unnecessary. If you know God, you don't need to worry. Why? Because God has promised to take care of your needs if you'll just trust him. He will take care of your needs. He says, "You don't have to worry. I'm your heavenly Father." You know, as a child, when I had a need, financial or otherwise, I'd go to my dad and say, "Dad, here's what I need. I need this money for this or that." You know, in all my years growing up, I never once worried about where my dad was going to get the money. Not once. You know, just this is a dad-kid kind of thing. You know, kids ask, dads provide. And I never worried at all. I just figured he'll know where to get it. He'll know how to get it. It's going to be there. That's his job. Now, your Heavenly Father has promised to meet all your needs if you put your trust in Him. And you don't have to worry about where God's going to come up with it. If you have come to Christ and said, Jesus Christ, I want you to be number one in my life. I want to live for you. I want to follow your plan. Then God assumes responsibility for all the needs in your life. In Philippians 4:19, it says, God shall supply all your needs in Christ Jesus. It says all your needs, not some, not a few, not the ones he wants to pick out, not the spiritual ones. It says all your needs. Does that include bills? Yeah. Does that include dealing with relational conflicts? Yes. Does that include your dreams and your goals and your ambitions? Yes. Does that include your health issues that you don't know what to do with or deal with? Yes. All means all. God will meet all your needs in Christ. Now, the real issue is God a liar? That's the issue. Do you trust God? Is God a liar? He says, I will meet all your needs. Now, he doesn't say all your greeds. Big difference. God has not promised to give you everything you want. He's not going to do that. He hasn't said, I'm just going to, you know, subsidize your selfishness. No, he says, I will meet all your needs. And if he's promised that, what does that include? It includes everything. You see, the bottom line is that worry is always a misunderstanding of what God is like. Anytime you start worrying, all kinds of alarm bells ought to go off in your mind, warning, flashing lights that say, hey, something's off here. I've forgotten who God is. I've forgotten that there is a God. I've forgotten what he's like. I've forgotten that he's with me all the time. And I've just started focusing on myself. Worry is always a misunderstanding of what God is like. See, God is not some angry judge sitting up in heaven waiting to make your life miserable. He is a loving Father who is deeply interested in all of the intimate details of your life. He knows everything about them and he wants to help you. He wants you to have a relationship of love and trust and obedience. And so he says, come to me with your problems. God is a loving Father who cares about your needs. Now, if I don't know God, and if I don't know what he's like, well, then obviously I'm not going to trust him. And if I don't trust God, the bottom line is going to be I'm going to live a life of worry. I'm either going to trust God or I'm going to live a life of worry. Now, many people say, well, I trusted Jesus Christ for my salvation, but I don't know if, you know, I still worry. Now, think about the illogic of that. The fact that you say, well, I can trust enough for God to get me out of hell and get me into heaven, but I can't trust God to take care of my bills. Listen, when God saved you, he solved your biggest problem. Everything else is small potatoes. It's peanuts compared to that one. Once you were forgiven, washed clean, promised a future in heaven, given a purpose for living, everything else is minor by comparison. So what are you worried about? If he's going to help you with the most important and the biggest problem in your life, why isn't he going to help you with everything else? If God loved us enough to send Christ to die for us, don't you think he loves us enough to take care of all those other needs? It would be like this. If you were hitchhiking out across to, say, to Las Vegas, and halfway out across the Mojave Desert, some car comes along, and you've got a big backpack on your back, and you're getting tired and thirsty, and they stop and say, would you like a ride? You say, oh, thanks. So you get in. You get in the pickup with them. And another hour or two down the road, the driver looks over and sees that you're still carrying this big backpack on your back. And he says, why don't you toss that thing in the back? And you go, oh, no, that's okay. You just carry me. I'll carry all the problems. It's enough for you to just carry me. I'll carry all the rest. And a lot of people do that with God. Okay, God, all you have to do is get me into heaven. I'll take care of all my bills and my pressures and my problems and my stresses and my loneliness and the difficulties I have with health and family and different things like that. God's saying, how stupid is that? Worry is unnecessary. It's unreasonable. It's unnatural. And it's unhelpful. So, how do I stop worrying? Well, Jesus tells us, and he gives us four things that we need to do in this passage in the Sermon on the Mount. How do I stop worrying? Now, let me just say the answer or the antidote is not just telling yourself, I shouldn't worry. That one doesn't work. Shoulding yourself just doesn't work. Well, I shouldn't worry. I should be more at peace. I shouldn't. All that does is just make you more miserable. It takes more than willpower to stop worrying, and you already know that because you've tried. You thought, well, I shouldn't worry about this, then you just keep on worrying about it. It takes more than willpower to stop worrying. What does it take? It takes four things. First, Jesus said, and this is foundational, get to know God. I mean, that's the bottom line. That's the foundation. Get to know God. Matthew 6:32, in the first part of the verse, Jesus says, I love this, the Message paraphrase, people who don't know God and the way he works worry over these things. People who don't know God and the way he works worry over these things. Now, if you don't, look up here. If you don't know God, if you don't have a relationship with Christ, you ought to worry. You have every reason to worry. Because if you don't know God and you don't know Jesus Christ, you're on your own, buddy. You're out there in that big bad world, living on your own power, living on your own strength. If it's to be, it's up to me. And you don't have any outside external hope or power or source for all of the problems and pressures that you're going to face your entire lifetime. And you ought to be worried. Honestly, if I were trying to live my life without God's help, I would be very worried. Because there's plenty in the world to be worried about. Would you agree with that? Pick up a newspaper. There's plenty of things in this world to be worried about, but I don't have to worry about it because I know God.
Thanks for joining us here on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. If you've missed any part of this broadcast, including portions we didn't have time for today, you can simply go to PastorRick.com and listen online anytime, or download the Daily Hope with Rick Warren podcast on your computer, smartphone, or tablet. Rick will be back in just a moment with a final word of encouragement, so please stay with us. If you've ever asked, how can I cope with stress, rebound from failure, defeat depression, or have peace of mind, let me tell you about the book, God's Answers to Life's Difficult Questions by Pastor Rick Warren. In it, Rick takes you to the Bible for answers to 12 of life's toughest challenges, drawing from the examples of different biblical characters that face the same issues. He offers concise, practical, eye-opening insights that you can understand and apply right away, allowing you to move past hardships and experience a life of purpose and significance. Pastor Rick writes, "In each of these studies, you will discover simple ways to apply God's truth to your personal life, your family, and your job." Let Rick lead you through the scriptures to see what they reveal about 12 of the most pressing questions people ask. Let us send you a copy of the book, God's Answers to Life's Difficult Questions, today as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of this ministry. To get your copy, go to PastorRick.com right now. That's PastorRick.com or call 800-600-5004. Again, that's 800-600-5004. You can also text the word DAILY to 99000. There's only 48 hours left to get this great resource, so don't wait. And now, here's Pastor Rick with a closing thought.
Thanks so much for listening today. I want you to know what a personal blessing it is to me to be able to teach you each day. But I also want you to know, as a pastor, that I am concerned that you find a local church home. Listening to this broadcast is not enough to grow. You need to be in a local church family where you can do the 58 one another's of the New Testament. Love one another, care for one another, help one another, encourage one another, share with one another, greet with one another, and on and on and on. That's the mutual ministry of the body to itself. You can't do that just by listening. You've got to be a part of a family. If you're not sure how to find a church or a church that's right for you, then write to me, Rick at PastorRick.com, and let me know that you want to find a good Bible-centered church. And I'll send you a simple tool called How to Find a Good Church. I know you'll enjoy it. Thanks for listening, and join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.